came to tell you about a gift that's been given to you that you probably haven't unwrapped yet. It's the gift of community media. And we heard from the representative of FIRE some things about community media in Costa Rica and in Latin America. But community media is not only in Costa Rica, it's not only in Latin America, although it's very strong there and very powerful medium, and there's wonderful networks throughout that whole region. But it is in most of the world, and I have to congratulate the United Kingdom. If there's anybody here from the United Kingdom, they got community radio just, yeah, in the last month. I knew you were, yeah. And it's been an awfully long struggle. This gift has not been given lightly. I mean, people have really worked for this gift. And I'll give you an example of some resistance to it. Marta is here from El Salvador. Well, last December I was at the World Summit on the Information Society, and the community radio people were trying to get just the words community radio mentioned in the final declaration of the World Summit on the Information Society. And that was blocked by the man who was then the candidate and is now the president of El Salvador. He's one of those media moguls, like the president of like Berlusconi in Italy. The media moguls seem to be becoming the kings in a lot of places. And he didn't want the word community radio mentioned in that document, and he blocked it. Some of the reason, you can imagine, for one thing, the community radio was an instrument of the FMLN. And Maria Suarez, whom I'm sorry wasn't able to be with us today from FIRE, likes to tell a story about how she went to El Salvador and was riding on a donkey that had a radio transmitter, and they were going up and down the mountains broadcasting, and they had to keep moving the radio transmitter because they didn't want it, the donkey to be killed and the transmitter to be destroyed. And I heard another story about El Salvador while I was at the World Summit on the Information Society, which was that the government put the fees for the radio licenses extremely high. You could buy the right to a frequency, but you had to pay a lot of money. So the community radio people got together. They agreed to pool all their money and buy one frequency, and then make small radio stations that had a smaller broadcasting radius just for their villages, all on the same frequency. And I know there's a truck driver among us. I was talking to him yesterday, and he was talking about, oh, now he's gotten satellite radio for the truck, so he can listen to radio as he's going place to place, hear what he wants to hear. But imagine going from community to community in El Salvador and just keeping your radio on that same channel and hearing everything, you know, that all the communities were doing. The United States, to the best of my knowledge, was the first to have community radio. We got it here because the FM radio was still sort of unpioneered territory. Nobody seemed to want to do anything there, so a little commercial, non-commercial reservation was set aside, and in the United States you can find community radio on the left of the dial. But a lot of people don't listen to it. They don't know about it. They get confused between community radio and public radio. And as my time is fairly short, I'm going to refer you to my article in Il Dono, The Gift, the book that's being given here, in which I explain the differences between commercial radio, where the audience is sold to advertisers, government or public radio, where has a certain kind of agenda that's put through it, that's a hierarchically controlled agenda, even though, I mean, these are all sort of mixed. I mean, like, you might find community radio on commercial frequencies and so forth. I mean, there's no pure models here, but these are tendencies. And then in community radio, which is not only for the community, but it's also by the community. And also, while I was at the World Summit on the Information Society, I picked up something. I meant to bring it here to show you, and I left it in the hotel room. But anyway, it's two diagrams, and the reason I picked it up was it looked like something out of Genevieve's book, Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. And they were talking about media that are one-many and many-to-many. And the one-many, they gave the example, actually, they said community radio was a one-many medium. And that's because you have a central transmitter and it goes out to a lot of places. But then they said, they were talking about the internet, oh, this is a many-to-many medium because, and they showed the little diagram where there's lots of different dots and there's lines connecting them every which way because people can communicate to each other. But I say community radio is a many-to-many technology. It's a many-to-many medium. And the reason is because not only is it broadcasting to the people, but it's broadcasting from the people, by the people. And last night when Elizabeth Sartoris was doing her piece, and she talked about the shape of the torus, which is kind of a round, it's like a mouth and a rectum, let's say, where things go in, then they're processed, and they go out. And I thought, well, community radio is kind of like a torus, too, because it's always taking in, and then it's putting back out. And I wanted to talk to you, well, before I go to this, I want to mention that there are other community media. Access television is very important, and I just picked up some videotapes from the Sound Posse exhibit about Korea. The Burning Man videotape was mentioned. I want to say that's another medium that you should get access to. And just in case I forget to say it, I want to say now, get access to your community media. Listen to it because you will hear things that are different from what you're going to hear anywhere else. And you will hear some of it you're going to like, some of it you'll find boring, but there's many interesting things. Democracy Now! Is just mentioned. Who knows about Democracy Now! Lots of people know about Democracy Now! But Democracy Now! Is from community radio, and it's primarily on community radio. Now it's also on community access television. And you can get access to it that way. I want to acknowledge that Susan Petrilli's talk from the other day, which was quite oracular, and a lot of information and a lot of ideas went by, and it was very difficult to, you know, like sometimes to grab them all. Certainly I couldn't grab them all, but I grabbed a few. And one of the things that she said that I thought applied to community radio, she said, to be committed to human rights is to be committed to acceptance of otherness, and that gift-giving demands a high degree of availability for the other. And she also talked about the gift of attention. And then that same thing came up in Jeanette Armstrong's talk. Remember the Okanagan, a woman from the Okanagan in Canada, and she was saying, the idea of the chief has to do with how well that person hears everyone, and being able to help other people, help people hear each other. And then, you know, it's not so much decision-making as it's helping people hear each other so they can go forward, and that listening is the biggest part. And I want to say that listening is the biggest part of radio. It's extremely important, not only listening as a listener, but the producers of the radio are not there. Some of them are, but they're not primarily there. They're not theoretically there to listen to themselves and to make you listen to them. They're there to go out into the community and bring in voices and to encourage this process and to listen to other people and to bring people there and listen to them. And another story that Maria likes to tell that she's not here to tell, Maria Suarez, she talks about a use of radio that happened actually at the World Summit on Population and Development that took place in Cairo, the Cairo Summit. And about how FIRE was able to use the fact of being radio to bring people together to discuss who would never talk to each other otherwise. There's a sort of diplomacy, even in being media and being able to create an event where people of very different viewpoints will get together, can hear each other, and even if they don't learn to get along, at least they know what the other one is saying and how to reply to these arguments. But my work, I do two different kinds of work, or I wear two different hats in community radio. And, I wear four, but I'll start with two. One is that I'm a co-founder and now the producer, the principal producer of WINGS, Women's International News Gathering Service. And WINGS is a syndicated program, it's a distributed program, and it's a program of news and current affairs by and about women around the world. And I have to say that Genevieve Vaughn was very influential in the creation of Wings and the continuation of Wings. And I should also mention that Genevieve Vaughn conceived of and created the basis for FIRE, Feminist International Radio Endeavor, as well, and that she has been one of the biggest influences, sort of mostly behind the scenes, in feminist media in the world up till now. And, you know, and may others, many others, join her. But Wings was started in we started working on it in 1985 at the end of the decade for women, because we knew that women were getting together from around the world. We knew that there'd been this 10-year process that started with women from different countries arguing with each other over, you know, the kinds of things that their governments wanted them to argue about. And at the end of 10 years, they had come up with the forward-looking strategies to the year 2000, a large document in which women from all over the world concurred. And it was the points of agreement, and it was huge. And then, well, you know, the Beijing thing happened later, but at that point we thought that was all that was going to happen. And we said, okay, there's been this 10 years, there was a little media attention, a little blip every time there was a world conference, but really, women were almost absent from the media. I mean, it was the most shocking thing, where they'd come up to almost talking about women and then, quick, just throw that out of the way and talk about another man. And so, anyhow, we knew that if we were going to have coverage, we were going to have to do it ourselves. And there had been a women's news movement that was moving in community radio over a period of probably by that time about 5 years, where women at different radio stations were producing news, and there was some networking going on, mainly through, I'm talking about in the U.S. now, through the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. And so those of us who were interested in the international scene and who were also interested in the news movement said, let's put this together, let's do some international news. What made it possible, one of the main things that made it possible, was that Genevieve Vaughn was interested in the radio, and that she had working with a group, but largely, I think, on her impetus, had put together this peace tent at the 1985 Women's Conference. And she had called a radio meeting, a meeting of radio women at the peace tent. And there was a list of radio women and their contact information that circulated after that. And when people in heard that we were doing Wings, two different people gave us this list. So we said, well, this is fate. We've got to contact these women. And we contacted those women. We started to get information from those women. And that was sort of the beginning of Wings. And it's been 19 years now. Wings is still going. There have been hundreds of women. Thank you. Hundreds of women who have contributed to it. And it become, mainly we're drawing from community radios. And in 1986, Catherine Davenport, who was the co-founder of Wings, and I were able to go to the AMMARC conference. AMMARC is Association Mondiale de Radiodiffuseurs Communautaires, because it's based in Montreal, those are the initials, but the English name is the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters. At present, I am the Vice President for North America of AMMARC, and from here I'm going to a board meeting of AMMARC that's taking place in Marrakesh, so that's going to be really fun, and I'll get to meet some people. But AMMARC was a good place also where we met women from around the world. Oh, five, I just got a 10-minute sign from her. Well, it's one or the other. Anyway, just say that we've been networking. Now, I want to say a little bit before we close about this other hat that I'm wearing, which is, oh, let me just mention briefly, also I'm on the board of International Association of Women in Radio and Television, and I just want to get their name out there, and you can ask me about it later. I want to talk a little bit about the job that I got since when I moved to Vancouver, which is I'm spoken word coordinator of a campus community radio station. And there's a whole campus community radio station movement in Canada that's in many ways similar to the movement here and elsewhere. But I just want to talk about internal structure for a little bit, because this is a problem that has plagued community radio, and it happens with all kinds of non-governmental organizations. And I was having a discussion with a couple of fellows last night, and we were talking about hierarchy, and does hierarchy inevitably arise? And this is a problem that has come up in community radio. Many of you are familiar with the Pacifica struggle, where some people, took over the board. And actually, if you have a nonprofit organization, the United States government requires you to establish a kind of ownership hierarchy, a board that has the ultimate say. And people can kind of run away with this. So the problem that we have internal to the station is about what does it mean. In my case, I'm paid staff, I'm part-time paid staff. What is the duty of the staff with respect to the project? And in our station, we call them coordinators. We don't call them directors. And I think this is really important. And it's important to keep reminding ourselves that we are not the decision makers, we are the facilitators. And just in a nutshell, I think these same gifts that are given by good parents, that are given by good village leaders, those are the gifts that you have to have inside the radio station as well. You have to listen. You have to keep thinking about what people's talents are, how they might be applied in ways that are not going to harm other people and their opportunities. You have to think about how you can do something like create a collective so that more people can get access to the time. And there's also a tendency, you know, like to create fiefs and property and my show inside the station. And you have to keep kind of making way for people to share and do that without getting on people's nerves too much. And it's a great thing to do. And I want to recommend all of you who have this gift consciousness, find out where your community radio station is. Go to it. It may be a structure that you hate. It may be very hard to get in there and to say, you know, we want a women's program, we want a community health program, you know, we want something. But just persist. You can volunteer, you can get in there, you can get free training in just about every community radio, and this free training is actually a gift that's been given to public radio, to commercial radio. There's almost no place else in North America, at least, where you can learn to be on the radio. But we complain about the media a lot. Get it. Be it. Go in there and also, you know, apply this gift giving, because sometimes just an honest voice for opening to others, for listening to others, is what's needed to prevent these travesties of hierarchy that can go on inside what should be everyone's gift. Thank you very much.